It is Communion Sunday. It's our day where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to do a short little, you can keep playing, George, because I'm just, this might not take long. Let me not lie to you. Because if I say this won't take long and it takes long, then I lied. So I'm not going to lie. This might not take long. This morning, we try to, you know, sometimes the Spirit of the Lord leads and guides and directs us in different directions. We try to celebrate communion at the end of every month here at Covenant Love. And, you know, there's been some teachings and some foundational things that God's really been doing in our hearts for where He's just been taking us over the last couple of months. He's really just been ministering specific things, and so it's not that we haven't celebrated the Lord's Supper for any other reason except that He's just been telling us to do other things, and so that's okay. We are we're a church that's led by the Spirit of God, and above anything else, what we want is to just follow His voice, follow His leading, follow His guidance. You know, there's different churches who do different things. There's some churches where they take communion every Sunday, and then there's some churches where they do it from time to time. And there's no right or wrong way to the calendar of when a church does or does not take communion. The most important thing about communion is our hearts and what we're saying in communion. And so I wrote a little message, hopefully a little message. I wrote a message on communion based in this series that we're doing right now, Mature and Secure, that Pastor started, I guess it was last week. God's been doing so much, I don't even know what week it is. I don't know. I know today is Sunday, and that's the extent of my knowledge. but God's just been doing so much, and if you were here last week and you saw what God did, we had 55 people get saved last week here. 55 people. And we've just been seeing the presence of God move Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm grateful. I'm just grateful to be in this time and in this season of outpouring. And even this morning with what He did this morning. And there's so much more. There's so much more. We're just beginning. We're just ankle deep in what the Lord is doing here among us in our midst. And this morning as I was driving in, I just kept on getting this continued deep sense of it has nothing to do with one person. So it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Pastor. We don't glorify man here at this church. Like, I'm glad that this is our vocation. I love teaching the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God. This is absolutely, I couldn't have dreamed of a more satisfying vocation for my life. And yes, me and my father, we are leading this church. But if we don't all come in on Sunday mornings with hungry hearts after the Lord, if it's all of us engaging with the Lord together, all of us, as a family, as a community, as the body of Christ. You know, we see that in the Word of God in Corinthians where it talks about the body of Christ and how if one part of the body isn't healthy, the whole body feels the effect of it, you know. And so I am a part of the body of Christ. I am not the whole body of Christ. We are the whole body of Christ. And when we are walking in health and hunger and wholeness, and when we are going after together what the Lord is calling us to do together, you guys are not here to prop up my calling. You guys are not here to make sure that I get X amount of followers on social media and X amount of book deals and X amount blah, 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 whatever. That's not what this is about. This is about all of us. It says it in Ephesians 4. I have no idea why I'm saying this. This is not in my notes. It says in Ephesians 4 that the purpose of the fivefold ministry, so whether that be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, or an evangelist, the purpose of that is for the equipping of the saints. So if anything, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you walk in your calling, to help you walk in what God has destined you to be. No matter what that is, whether you're a businessman or woman, or whether whether God's called you to be a speaker or a writer, or if God's called you to the school system, if God's called you to law enforcement or first responders or the military, no matter where God has called you, we all want to thrive together. We want to thrive together. And so that's what this is all about, that we come in Sunday mornings to be together, to prop up one another. And that's even why I felt so strongly in my heart to just say, hey, if you're not being prayed for, then pray. Pray for one another, the Bible tells us. Last week, it was so beautiful too, when Pastor had the 55 people that came up to give their lives to the Lord. He said, everybody turn around, look at this congregation. He said, congregation, do you love these people? And everybody, there was such an eruption of applause and shouting that he actually had to quiet us down so that he could move on to the next thing. And that was such a beautiful image of community. That was such a beautiful image of what it's like to be the body of Christ. That's what it's like. And as we talk about communion, you can't talk about communion without talking about the body. And so, because the bread is his body, which means it's inadvertently us. And so as we celebrate communion, we're celebrating what his body did to make us one. What his physical, fleshly, earthly body did in being broken and crucified. What he did in that moment was he brought us together. He brought us into his body to be a part of his body so that we can be one together. And so there is no maturity or security in the body of Christ without the body being the body. Maturity in the body of Christ is all of us growing up together, being equipped together so that we can do what he has called us to do, so that we can be who he has called us to be individually and collectively. Because if you are thriving in what God has called you to do individually, then we are thriving collectively. And if we are thriving collectively, that's going to continue to help the individual to thrive individually. And so part of what we are declaring and saying through the Lord's Supper is that he died so that we could all be in unity and so that we could walk into the purpose and the calling that he has called us to corporately and individually. Does that make sense? And so this morning, as we take communion, I want you to realize that one of the things that you're proclaiming is your acknowledgement of, like, you know, the Bible says, I'm not going there yet, guys, so you don't have to go there. In Isaiah 53, it's that he was broken and bruised. By his stripes, we were healed. The body, our bodies can be healed because of what happened to his body. And also, the body can be healed because of what happened to his body. our body can be whole because of what happened to his body, and this body can be whole because of what happened to his body. Because when he was broken, he didn't stay that way. It's one of my favorite things about communion. Like that we focus on the death, but not at the expense of focusing on the resurrection. That his body took on sickness, took on sin, took on everything that we could go through. And then that body that was broken and bruised and beaten beyond belief was raised to life again. Which means that we, the body, even though sometimes we look broken and bruised and beat up and all kinds of messiness going on, we can experience not just what feels like the death, but anything that feels like death is in the body is being led to resurrection. You guys have heard me say this before, that in the kingdom of God, there is no death that does not lead to resurrection. There is no brokenness that doesn't lead to wholeness. There is no suffering that doesn't lead to glory. And so no matter what you may be going through today that feels like brokenness, understand that you are on a pathway to wholeness. What you feel in this moment that feels like sickness is a pathway to healing. What feels like shame and being an outlier or an outcast is a road to, what does it say in Isaiah 60? Double honor. The pain that the body of Christ felt, that Christ's body felt when it was being whipped and beaten and broken and bruised, all of that pain had a purpose. All of it had a purpose. It was directed at life. And so whatever you are going through today, it is directed at life. I am so far away from my notes. I love this idea. You know, sometimes we can get so focused on the Lord's Supper within the context of just what it means for me that we lose sight of what it means for all of us. Every single last one of us, together, corporately, as one body. It's amazing. I'm really sorry, media team. Y'all love me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Woo-hoo! And I'm going to start earlier than what I told you guys I was going to. Let's go to verse 17. How's everybody doing? Verse 17. There you go. Thanks. You guys are the best. It says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you. He's about to give instructions on how to take up the Lord's Supper. It says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. You know, whenever that's going to be said, whatever's coming next has to be good, right? For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. So they're about to learn about how to take the Lord's Supper together. Paul is about to give them instructions on how to do communion. And first and foremost, he starts addressing some things that are issues with what's going on inside of them before they take communion. Remember, I said to you guys that it matters. Our heart matters when we take communion. It says, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Even though that's what they were in word, they were saying that they were going to come, that they were coming together and having communion. Because it says, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. So what was happening in this moment was in Corinth, was the church was coming together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. They were coming together to have communion. And basically what was happening was these certain people that felt like they were better than everybody else, they would get there and they would break out the best food and the best wine, and they would basically consume the best stuff because they were the best people. And what they would do is they would leave out the lesser people, the people that they felt like were not approved, the people that they felt like, you know, whether it was that they were too poor or, you know, they weren't spiritual enough or however they felt about them, these people, they were coming together and the Lord's Supper was about them. Communion was about them and them being fulfilled and them having the best food and them having the best wine, and they were self-centered in their taking of communion. They weren't concerned with other people. They weren't concerned with the rest of the body. They were concerned with just themselves. And so Paul, he's writing to the church of Corinth, and he's saying to them, he's like, look, guys, you're coming together to partake of the body of Christ, and you're not acting like the body of Christ. You're separated, you're disjointed, there's factions among you, and you're eating the Lord's Supper in a very self-centered way. You're not looking around you at the poor among you, or the dejected among you, or the people that feel like outcasts and outliers among you. Like, you're just coming in, you're doing your own thing. And then he says in verse 22, he says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? Like, are you coming together and are you casting shame on people that don't think like you, that don't look like you, that don't talk like you, that don't have the amount of money that you have, that don't come to church as often as you come to church? That, like, are you looking down on them? He says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And it's so interesting because later on, Paul starts talking about the fact that because they were treating communion in this way, because they were treating the Lord's Supper in this way, that there were people who were sick, there were people who were even dying earlier than what they were supposed to die because they were not in unity as the body when they partook of the body. Because they were self-centered, because they were looking at themselves and they weren't concerned, they were acting in immaturity as believers, and they were just focused on themselves and they didn't care about how other people felt or anything like that. And because of that, there was sickness and dying and terrible things happening among them. Because, and think about that, right? So Jesus says, this is my body broken for you, right? That goes in line with what it says in Isaiah 53. You guys do have this. I'll go to Isaiah 53 and I'll read this really quick. It says, yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. So you don't get the benefits of the body when you're not acting like the body when you partake of the body. I'll say it one more time. You don't get the benefits of the body when you partake of the body not acting like the body. You don't get the benefits of the body partaking of the body not acting like the body. If we live in this self-centered way where everything in Christ and everything in church and everything in my world solely revolves around me and what I want and what I think and what I feel, and I'm never able to see beyond myself to the people around me, not just the world outside, right? I think sometimes we have a much easier time loving the homeless person on the corner than we do the person sitting down the row from us. I posted something the other day that says, love is not unconditional until it has endured the test of offense. It's so easy to say, oh, we love the world. We want to see broken people get healed. And we want the poor and the needy and the widows and the orphans to come in. We do want that. And that is happening here. But what helps us to continue to really stay in that, if we are going to shine the love and the light of what Jesus did for us out to the world, then we've got to walk in the love and the light of what he did for us within the body. And we've got to look at the people around us, and we've got to begin to really, 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 truly have a heart for those people. To have a heart for the person that's sitting down the row from us. To have a heart for the person that we see their Facebook posts and we're like, I don't like that. We see their Instagram posts and we're like, I don't like that. Frustrated by that. How dare they? Right? We've all been there. Look, okay, here. I'll talk about myself. Right? Because y'all know me. I'm not preaching anything. I'm never going to preach anything that I'm not going to preach to myself. I hate that. Hate that. It's a doctrine of demons. You know, that I want to be able to come in, and whenever I partake of the Lord's Supper, when I partake of communion, to understand that I'm not just thinking about what his body did for me, but I'm thinking about what his body did for us. And I'm thinking about how much I want all of us to walk in the freedom that we have from sin. And I want all of us to walk in the freedom that we have from shame. And I want all of us to walk in the freedom that we have from sickness and disease and poverty and oppression and depression and sadness and confusion and anxiety. And whenever I partake of the body, that I'm not just partaking of it, only thinking on myself, only being self-centered about me, 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 what it means for me and what it's doing in me, but that I'm thinking and going beyond and believing that what it's doing for us, that I might be healed, but may the healing that is in his body be spread out to everybody that's around me. That I might not be walking in shame, but may when I take this bread in remembrance of him, God, may shame be broken off of people in your body that don't realize that they are walking in shame. That if I might not have a financial situation that's difficult or hard, or my marriage might not be broken, but when I partake of this bread and this cup, whenever I drink this, whenever I eat this, that God, may it be fit, may your your body be full of the revelation of what you did on the cross. May the body of Jesus Christ be full of the understanding, and may we love one another with the love that you have loved us, and may we be one as you and the Father are one. May every single last one of us experience the benefits of this bread and this cup. Because when we partake of the body, we're acting like the body, and so we get the benefits of the body. May we be a church of mature believers who act like the body. So that when we come together on Sundays to celebrate what he did, to be amazed by what he did, to be in awe of what he did, that we can take it and we can know in our hearts that we're truly portraying the body. That we truly look like him. This is why Paul goes on to say in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let a man and a woman examine themselves. And so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let us examine ourselves. I think sometimes we only think about that in the context of whether or not our spirits have been regenerate or whether or not we've been born again. And that's true. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. If you've never been born again, if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, please, please don't take communion if you haven't done that. It's a very serious thing. Very serious. And so that's true. Don't do that. Don't partake of communion if you haven't received him. But if you have received him, still examine yourself. Look in your heart. Ask yourself, am I acting like the body? Y'all don't be mad at me talking about this. This is the Bible. Examine your heart. Lord, am I judging anybody? God, am I thinking of anybody as less than myself? God, am I self-centered in taking this? Am I only focused on what it means for me, but not what it means for all of us? God, reveal to me, reveal to my heart. Examine yourself. Let's take communion well today. Before we do that, oh, thank you, Jesus. Before we do that, I want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord. As their Lord. I want to give an opportunity for people to surrender their lives to him. You might be in this place today and say, I've never known him, or I used to know him, but I've run from him. I just want to tell you that the blood that's represented in this cup, in his body, never loses power. It's not like you can dock points off of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ every time you sin. Every time you mess up, every error that you've made, every wrongdoing that you've done, you don't put yourself farther and farther out of reach of His grace. I actually believe you put yourself closer and closer. God can forgive anything, absolutely anything. You might think, well, you don't know me, you don't know what I've been through, you don't know what I've done. I don't. And that's completely irrelevant when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Because He didn't take on some sin, He took on all sin. He didn't take on like as close to good as possible. Like, He didn't just take on white lies and stealing a toothbrush when you're 5 years old. He took on the big things. I'm just going to say some things that I feel like He's saying right now. And I'm going to tell you, this is why the gospel is offensive. He took on murder. He took on rape. He took on abortion. He took on hatred. He took on murder. He took on drug dealing. He took on drug addiction. He took on alcohol addiction. He took on beating your kids. He took on yelling at your wife. He took on yelling at your husband. He took on being manipulative and controlling towards your family. He took it all on. He took it on. And He will forgive you. He will forgive you. He is faithful. The Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us. And so with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're in this room today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've given your life to Jesus and you've walked away from Him, just as simple as this, I just want you to pop that hand up in the air and we're going to say a prayer all together. I'm the only one looking, just me and Jesus. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand in the back. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, moving on from this morning, all we're going to do is we're just going to say a prayer. I'll tell you what's going to happen as soon as you say that prayer. The Bible says that you are going to be born again. What that means is that He's going to take your old dead spirit out, or He's going to revive that spirit and it's going to come alive. That's why it's called being born again. It's not that your body is born again, it's your spirit. It's your spirit that's being born again. And He is going to make His home on the inside of your heart. He's going to come live on the inside of you. Not begrudgingly, but because He wants to, because He loves you, because He cares for you. And the Bible says that all we have to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that's when He comes. And so we're just going to say this prayer. Thank you. I see that hand. We're just going to say that this prayer together, and the whole congregation is going to, we're going to say it together, because you're a part of our family now too, if you're saying this prayer. Amen. So let's pray this together. Say, Father, I thank You for forgiving me of everything I've ever done. I thank You for cleansing me and making me whole. I thank You for giving me a new heart And I thank you that I am born again. I believe and I confess that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died for me. He rose again. And he now is in heaven. And right now, he is making his home in my heart. I thank you once again. My sins are no more. I am forgiven. I am your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper? Thank you, Jesus. Give everybody time to kind of get their stuff open. And as you're opening it, and after you're done opening it, I just want to encourage you. Let's just take, like the next minute and a half. Just examine your hearts with what I talked about of just seeing. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if you've been judgmental or if you've looked down on anyone, if you've taken yourself out of unity with the body of Christ, if you've thought yourself as better than anyone else. Just ask for his forgiveness. Just ask for his forgiveness. Whew, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for the opportunity to examine our hearts before we take this communion, before we take your body and this cup. We just ask for you to forgive us. If there's been anything that we've done, Lord, that hasn't looked like you. God, if we've not blessed those who persecute us or prayed and loved our enemies. God, if we've been judgmental in any way, if we've looked down on anyone, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to give us your eyes. And God, we ask that right now, as we celebrate communion, we ask for healing and life and salvation, joy, peace, and everything that you purchased for us on the cross to overflow from our lives into everyone else. And as we go into this week, we pray that we would look like you to everyone around us. And that if we invite people, if we say, hey, come to my church, that we would never be in a place where we would feel like we'd be ashamed or because we don't live the love outside of the church that we should be living on the inside of the church. Help us to live it here first. God, you know that I've been praying this with our staff so many times. God, start with us. Start in this room. Start with anybody watching us online today. Start in our own lives so that we can let the love of God overflow in our lives. In Jesus' name, it says, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, it says, and when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it. Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you for everything that you did for us on the cross. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, and we thank you for the healing that you purchased for us through your stripes. And we thank you, God, that if there's any sickness in our bodies or in the bodies of those around us still, we pray for healing to be poured out. God, if there's anybody in our lives that needs to come to know you. We pray that they would come to know you. And we thank you for it. So he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Finally, it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And as Pastor always says, he is coming again. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.